Sean Bevan, his mic is not on, but I guess we can allow him to get seated first. Are we set now, Sean? Okay. I'd like to call to order the Kings Local School District Board meeting for June 21st, 2016. We do have, as a public hearing event, we need an addition of one service day for teachers, which would be held on September 16th, 2016. Can we have some information on that?
Yeah, just a reminder, we are asking the school board to add a professional development day to our calendar for next school year. We have instituting the MAP assessment as well as another program at the high school called Grade Cam, and we'd like that day for professional development for teachers. Per the guidelines of the Ohio Department of Education, since we are on hours, if we reduce student hours, we would need to ask the board to approve that. But before we do that, they'd have to have a public hearing, which is what this is, to see if anyone has any questions or concerns prior to the board voting on that. And then the board would hear those concerns potentially or suggestions, and then that would be on the agenda for July to add that day. So we would be reducing the student day by one day by adding this professional development day.
Well, I'm sure the students would not mind that. So do we need a motion to accept this?
No, it's just a public hearing, so if anyone has any questions or concerns, or if the board has any questions or concerns, we're more than welcome to answer those. And board, if they don't, then we move on to the next item.
Anybody up here have a question, concern?
I think it was well discussed at our work session, and all of my questions were answered.
How about out there? Question about it? Professional Development Day? Okay, then let's move on, all right? Okay, I already called the meeting to order. Roll call, Sean.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Here.
Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. Phillips?
Here.
Mr. McKernan?
Here.
And now if you would please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Hinman will have a Scottish or an Irish brogue as he says the pledge.
Yay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since he just spent 2 weeks in Ireland.
Yes.
That was my point of that. Okay. Let's see what we got next. Approve the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'd like to amend the agenda, if possible.
Well, wait till we get to discussion, okay? Is there a second to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Any discussion? Now, Kim.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
I would like on sheet 2 to pull out the classified substitute so I could vote separately on that.
The classified substitute.
Mm-hmm. So if I think I understand correctly, we'd have sheet 1, which would stay the same. Mm-hmm. Sheet 2, we would remove the substitute classified employee and make that sheet 3 on its own.
That would be perfect.
Under personnel, right?
Under personnel.
And does that include the changes that Mrs. Grant had already requested?
Yes.
Okay. Then we're good to go, aren't we? And let's vote on that since we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye. Is that proper?
That'll work. Are you opposed?
Okay.
No? No opposed? Okay.
Moving along, public participation, is that right? Is that next? Okay. I have a statement I have to read about public participation. The King's Local Board of Education encourages all parents, staff members, and community members to attend meetings and encourages visitors to participate in their meetings. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to state his or her reason for addressing the board. We ask that speakers avoid personal contacts on individuals during their public address to the board. If an individual has an issue with an employee, we ask that you request a private meeting with the superintendent or that employee's direct supervisor. Please keep in mind that Board of Education meetings are held so that the board can conduct their business in public. The board president is the spokesperson for the board and may need to consult with other board members in order to respond to the public. If a question from the public can be answered immediately, it may be. However, if time is needed to study the issue, the board may choose to make a statement at a later date. There is a time limit of 3 minutes. Our timekeeper, however, is not here. Would one of you gentlemen officially be the 3 minute timekeeper? Sure. Okay. First person is Jason Burton. Hi, Jason Burton.
This is Josh.
Hi,
Josh.
I'm sorry, your time is up, sir.
Good seeing you all.
Thank you.
Hello, board. President of the board, Hicks, Baker Hicks, superintendent and treasurer, Mr. Bevan. My name is Josh Burton with the Ohio Treasurer's Office, and I've gotten to extensively talk with Mr. Bevan over the last couple months, and I'm here representing the Ohio Treasurer, Josh Mandel, today. We have started an initiative called the Ohio Checkbook Initiative. Some of you have probably heard about it or received a letter from our office. We have engaged 3,962 local governments in the state of Ohio to post their spending information online in an easy, intuitive, and dynamic format that we've created working with a company out of Silicon Valley called OpenGov. Mr. Bevan and I have talked multiple times. We never got to meet face-to-face before, but locally we started working with the city of Mason, Mason City Schools, Hamilton County, Warren County, and the list goes on. We've had over 80 schools join the checkbook in the state of Ohio. 750 local governments have joined us with the measurement of over $350 billion, 711 million checks posted online from those 750 local governments. Today I'm here to just talk to you guys, introduce myself, and extend the hand of partnership to you guys on joining us and putting your expenditures online. When we look at transparency at the national level, we see at the local level, people call for the same thing, whether it's from their schools, from their townships, from their villages, or even their cities if they may live in those. And I call on the board today to be a partner with us to moving transparency from what you guys have now is excellent, but we call for a new level in 2016 to show a new dynamic way of how we present information to the public. We now have information at our fingertips using cell phones, using laptops, tablets, where information can be posted and picked up immediately. And so today, like I've said, we would like to partner with the board, with Kings Mills Schools, just as Mason City Schools have done, the city of Warren County has, and the city of Lebanon, who sits right at the seat here. And so I yield my time, I suppose, back to the board if you have any questions for me. I have some handouts for you guys to see what we've talked about the state of Ohio. And Sean, I look forward to working with you more as well. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's an exciting initiative, Josh. And
thank you.
A lot of great information that's so available, and it certainly is a very transparent way to get information out to your community. So
yes, ma'am.
Mr. Mandel,
you know, we can always tell a great story about what we're doing in our local governments to our folks by using this website. And we've seen quite a reduction of public records requests because of a website like this. People can go on there, view the information, and so they don't have to call Sean and bother him about something like how much fertilizer. I heard on the radio earlier someone talking about Green Township here in Southwest Ohio, and they said, you know, we have folks who bother us about why we spend a dollar more on fertilizer. Well, this type of thing right here will help put at ease the public and know that you guys are doing the right things always. So thank you all.
Thank you much.
Thanks.
Okay, next in line, Valerie Naughton. Similar districts, I think you want to talk about.
That's correct. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to address the board and administration. Recently, Mrs. Grant shared data that asserts King spends more per pupil than similar districts. Similar is defined by ODE as districts having a similar number of students and performance on state assessments. As a community stakeholder, I needed to understand, one, if the data shared is valid, and two, if the data as shared tells the whole story. That story being, there are many districts that spend less per pupil than King's while achieving the same educational outcome. Step one was to confirm the per pupil spending. So of the 20 similar districts, six spend essentially the same per pupil as King's, within about 2%. Five spend up to 12% more per pupil than King's, and nine spend up to 24% less per pupil than King's. So confirmed, there are some schools that spend less per pupil than King's. Step two was to confirm the same educational outcome. The ODE uses performance index as a measure of similar. Performance index measures basic competency on state assessments. When using this metric alone, the districts do indeed look similar. King's has a score of 98.6 in a range from 88.6 to 107.3. This result was puzzling. How can schools spend up to 25% less than King's per pupil and achieve the same educational outcomes? The answer is similar is not equal. The performance index measures the number of students meeting the state's minimum requirements. It's important to note that performance index is calculated using weights the state assigns to a given student's performance. By this metric, all of the schools meet the state's definition of proficient, so all of those similar schools. I needed another way to look at performance and chose U.S. News High school rankings, an approach that uses a three-step process to assure all students are well served. The first step determines whether each school's students are performing statistically better than expected versus the average student in the state. The second step determines whether the school's least advantaged students are performing better than average for similar students in the state. And the third step measures which schools produce the best college level achievement by computing a college readiness index, which includes AP participation rates and AP test performance. Of the 20 similar schools, King's and the district spending greater than or equal to King's were awarded gold and silver medals, ranked in the top 130 schools in the state and in the top 2,000 schools nationally. That's out of 690 schools in the state and over 26,000 schools nationally. King's High School is one of two similar schools receiving gold medal status of only 18 schools in the state to receive gold medal status. Seven of the nine districts spending less per pupil than King's were unranked, which means they did not meet the three criteria outlined, and their curriculum does not support college-level coursework. This data demonstrates similar is clearly not equal. King's consistently delivers a quality educational product this community wants, and good fiscal stewardship this community trusts. Data is a powerful tool, and when used properly, it can communicate important ideas. Selecting only part of the data to support a point of view is dishonest and does a disservice to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. And that concludes that part of our agenda. You want to pass that down to Sean, please? Okay. Legislative update.
Well, coming back from Ireland, I did briefly look and see if the assembly was still working, but they're not. They're on summer recess. But they have a couple things that they're still worked on or will work on when they do come back. House Bill 113 requires public schools, grades 9 through 12, to incorporate hands-on instruction in CPR and the use of an automated external defibrillator. I can't say that. AED in the 2017-18 school year. HB 113's passage is passed in the Senate, and the House agreed on several amendments. Going down to another one, I think that's it. Actually, it's all about, well, HB 441 permits student enrolled in a non-public school to participate in interscholastic activities in the school district where the student's non-public school is located, even if it's not the student's district of residence, as long as certain criteria are met. And that, folks, is that.
Da-da-da-da. Okay. Moving along to reports and presentations, we shall start with Mr. Sean Bevan, our treasurer. Take it away, Sean.
Thank you. I have a few things on the agenda for approval tonight. If you want to take a motion in a second, I will discuss what we got.
Okay. Looks like you're going to be talking about financial summaries, checks, and bank reconciliation.
Well, if you want, you can take them all together. There's a total of 16 on. There's a total of 16 okay. on there.
Motion for to approve the investment and financial reports, the minutes, and donations and appropriations.
So moved.
My list just goes on and on. You
yeah,
say
it goes one through. I'm sorry, it goes 1 through 16. First one being financial reports. Number 16
okay.
is the.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at 1 through 3, and I'm thinking, well, it just goes on and on. 1 through 16. He is a busy boy. Is
I'll
there a motion?
That Mr. Hinman made the
I
motion.
Moved.
Second.
I second.
Moved. Seconded. Roll call.
You want to do discussion?
Yeah, I had a couple questions.
Discussion?
Yep.
Yeah, Sean.
You want me to go first or you guys want to go first? Well, go ahead.
Well, I did have a few questions about the...
Please speak into your microphone.
I had a few questions about the financial summary.
Okay.
This is pretty much our year end now, I guess.
That one's actually probably as the end of May, so okay. We've got one more month, yeah.
Okay, so I was just wondering when you look at this, and there's... numbers such as 55 million, and I just wondered, what is our total budget for the district, like all money that comes into the district? How much is it?
This one's through May, this one's 55 million. You're gonna have one more month in there, so probably it's gonna be close to 60 million district wide.
So that other number that we got today, that's 60, was 63 million? For the final appropriation list, is that the final number, $63 million?
Look at 16 or 17.
Okay. All right, and so our total revenues are around 63 million.
That's with
this is for, yeah. This is all funds district wide, not just general funds, right?
Title
yeah.
funds, all federal funds from grants.
Does it include our bond money or money that we're collecting from the taxpayer to
it does.
Pay off our debt?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What portion of it is encompassed in that?
This
one,
for
63 million.
Yeah, for 16, that 11 million of that was bond retirement. The reason for that is that it's not usually as high. If you look at 17, you're going to notice it's a lot lower, about $4 million in fiscal year 17. The reason we have $11 million this year is we did a refinance. You might remember that.
Yes.
Last, a little over a year ago, we started a refinance of about $6 million in bonds. And so that actually hit our books on July 1st of last year. So we started that in fiscal year 15. The transaction actually took place in fiscal year 16, so that inflated our number by $6 to $7 because there was $6 million in refinance, and there were some also some interest and other things that were associated with that. So. That's why it bumped up. But total of about $11 million this year in fiscal year 16 for our bonds.
Okay. And And then our total expenditures, what was that?
The 63.9 million? That's our appropriations?
No, the expenditures, right. So that was the total.
I mean, that's not going to hit dead on, but it's going to be pretty close to that.
Okay, and then that's going to be year-to-date. So because on the May one, it shows we took in $57.9 million and spent $55.5
million in May. On our May FinSum?
Yeah.
Let me look. As of May 31st, we had, you're looking at all funds again, right?
Yeah, all funds.
Fiscal year to date, we were $57.9 million in revenues and $55.5 million in expenses.
So that looks like
we have another month left.
$2.4 million.
Right, revenues higher than expenses. Okay. Is that what you're looking at?
Yes, revenues are higher than expenses.
So, right.
And when will we get June's numbers?
June's numbers, we'll have those in July.
So we'll continue to get, it seems like we average about $4 million in revenues a month and spend.
Roughly, right.
So we should be coming out ahead this year then, is that correct?
All funds, probably yes. General fund, no. The numbers you're looking at, the $57.9 million in revenues versus the $55.5 million in expenses, those are all funds.
Okay, and then if we look at the available current balance
okay.
of $18.6 million,
okay.
What exactly is that?
That's our cash balances in all funds. So the $57.9 million was all funds revenues. The $55.5 million was all funds expenses. The $18 million is all funds cash balances. So if you look up, I don't know if you have the whole list there, but you can look up at the very top. Obviously, the biggest part of that is our general fund.
It's $11
million. So as of the end of May, it's $11.7 million. You can see the bond retirement fund is about $3.7 million, permanent improvement fund $1.9 million. So all those, if you add all those up, you're going to get to that $18
million. So it looks like we still have a very healthy cash balance as of the end of this year.
Well, as of May. We still have a month left in the fiscal year. But
we should be bringing in about $4 million and spending $4 million. So, I mean, kind of that's what we historically...
I think you need to explain, Sean, what all funds mean.
So all funds, you can see on here, we have about 2.5 pages of funds. So every fund is almost like an individual bank account, so to speak, where you've got, we have general funds, we have permanent improvement funds, we have bond retirement funds, and all of these are treated separately. So when you look at our five-year forecast, which is what we spend a lot of time looking at and reviewing, five-year forecast is going to be general fund only. So there's a lot of funds in here that are not associated to or related to our five-year forecast. So whether it's, like I said, the bond retirement fund, this year was $11 million that you're not going to see in our five-year forecast. It could be cafeteria, food service, preschool, student activities, athletics, federal grants, state grants. There's all kinds of funds that we have, and each of those are treated separately. So if you look at, and the FinSum is going to show all of our funds on there. So if you look at that in total, it's not necessarily an accurate reflection of the district's operating cash balances or operating position, because while the operating funds and cash balances and revenues expenses are in that, there's also a whole bunch of other things in there as well that are going to cloud your picture if you're looking at just operating expenses.
But if I look at the general fund, that's operating expenses.
Correct.
So the beginning balance as of May was $11 million.
Right.
So that's, you know,
so as of May, it's gone up $800,000, but you're going to see it go back down in June because as of the end of May, we have all of our spring tax collections. So we get our property tax collections really twice a year. You're going to get them once for us in our fiscal year, you're going to get them once in the fall and once in the spring. And so those are, you're talking $20+ million of collections. And so you have your state foundation collections you're going to collect evenly throughout the year. And then you're kind of going to get these lump sums here and there. So as of the end of May, we pretty much have all of our property tax collections, all of our TIF revenues, all of those things have come into the books. So for the month of June, you're going to still have your even expenses, but you're going to have a lot less in revenue. So you're going to see that number in terms of positive, you're going to see that number flip in the month of June. So I don't know, May is not necessarily the best time to look at it. And we'll look at this again in our July work session, our July regular meeting, because we should have some updated numbers by then. But 1 month, you still have a month left to go in the year, so these are not necessarily, I mean, these are accurate as of the end of May, but they're not going to be accurate as of the end of June.
But it's still, we still have a very good cash balance, and so that's why, you know, I'm pleased that
sure.
that.
Absolutely.
Obviously, those we had talked about that all of the things that were in the list that was presented to the community
right.
of possible cuts, these have all been incorporated into our five-year forecast, and none of these things would have to be considered. If by chance we put a levy up and it fails, or whether we don't have a levy, all of this stuff is included in this five-year forecast, as are all the things we're voting on tonight.
It's included in the five-year forecast. I mean, it's kind of a separate conversation. When you talk about things that you, when you start talking about forecasting and projecting and things that you may or may not have to cut or include in there, I guess that's really a whole separate discussion and one that we've been having really on a monthly basis over the last few months. But one of the things I think is important to consider with that, when you talk about what you would or wouldn't have to do, again, we could spend 2 hours talking about that alone. But having said that, I will say that at one of the meetings, you had asked about information or correspondence we've had with the Department of Education around our five-year forecast over the last year. And when we submitted our October forecast, again, we look at our forecast, on our October forecast, our third year out had a negative cash balance. And so they ask us at that time, they look at any district across the state that's going to submit a forecast that shows a negative cash balance 3 years out or sooner. And they're going to say, hey, we see you've got a negative cash balance 3 years out. What are you planning on doing for that? And so you've got to submit some kind of plan back to them, which we did at the time based on discussions that we've had as a board, saying that we're looking at expense reductions, and these are our estimated amounts that we're currently looking at. We're also looking at potential levies, and those, if you factor these things in, they will offset that negative balance you see 3 years out. If you, sort of to play that the next step forward, if you don't put any levy on the ballot and you don't propose any additional reductions, you're still going to show those negative balances, and you're still going to be going through that process with the Department of Education.
The one that has been approved, we are in the dark until 2018 without a levy.
In the black.
In the black.
Yes. Not in the dark, in the black. But, yes, we're in the black through 2018.
So that's good. That's all good news.
That is good news, yes. But I'm just saying, you can't necessarily say, because the May forecast shows a positive cash balance, does not necessarily mean that you can do nothing for the next 3 years and still...
Oh, no, I agree. This would have to be revisited in October no matter what, and certainly we're at that point where we have to continuously look at all of this.
Right, absolutely.
But okay, Kim, do you have any other questions?
No, but I did think it was interesting since...
you're going to have to speak
talking
up.
About, you know, the looking at all of our finances and how confusing it is, I thought it was interesting that I found a report from the Cato Institute, and they actually ranked Ohio 45th in the nation with a grade of F in how poorly the state reports public spending. So, and it's just the way our state requires it, so it does make it difficult for us to understand the data on capital expenditures, total salaries. Like you said, it's not all incorporated in an easy fashion to understand.
Go to Columbus and lobby. Mm-hmm.
What did you say, the Cato report?
That's the solution.
In 2013.
Anything else, Kim?
Not on.
Anything for Sean is what I'm asking.
So, Sean, the other thing is the bank, it says the balance per our checking account is $18.6 million.
Right.
So that's not our general fund?
No.
Okay.
That's all funds.
That's all funds.
Right.
Peggy, do you have anything for Sean? Question?
No.
I do.
You do, Mr. Carey?
Just some general questions about, and I think it's time, right? This is part of the 16, our relationships with the different educational services centers around. We're about ready to vote on those contracts, correct?
Sure.
I just need some clarification in my head relative to the change in our relationship with Warren County. Basic question would be, I just need confirmation that our relationship with Warren County changed. This contract is about a $17,000 contract, right? My question is, did anything we take from Warren County go to another county's ESC, or is that all stuff we're going to take inside?
No.
Understand the question?
Yeah, I understand. All the special education services that we've had with Warren County, we're continuing to have with them. How our relationship changed was how we funded them. So our funding model, with that additional $25.63 that we were paying per student, we took that money back and our providing those services internally for ourselves. And if we need professional development in some sort, we'll consult with Warren County to find out if they have somebody that is appropriate for us, or we'll try one of the other ESCs or another organization. whichever makes sense for us.
But nothing that we took from Warren County did we then give it to another ESC, either Hamilton County or Butler County?
No.
I'm trying to understand globally where we're at relative to our relationships with ESCs versus what we're handling internally. I know it was
the other ESC contracts that you see on here are ESC contracts that we've had in previous years as well. Right.
So about 54,000, I think, with Hamilton County. And
because they're the only, some of those like Butler and Hamilton are the only counties that offer that service.
At the end of it, I think my net is just trying to figure out what we save, right, relative to our relationships with different ESCs and things that we have then brought inside.
So
the only relationship change was Warren County's.
Correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Bob, do you have a question? Sean?
No, I talked to him this morning. We're good.
Okay.
Do you have a question about COLA? Sure. I didn't know what the Department of Taxation was that we had to pay so much money to.
Yeah, Department of Taxation, we get, part of our funding that we get is through the state, and so when they give us their funding, they collect a part of that, right? Yep. Same for the county, whether we get it from county or state tax department, they're going to pull off a piece of that to help fund their operations.
And then the only other question I have was that textbook expense transfer. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, textbook expenses. So someone on some of these. Some of this stuff is like things we review and look at the end of the fiscal year. Textbooks, for example, there had some been some, I don't want to say straggling, but maybe no formal adoptions, but there have been some textbooks that were purchased here and there throughout the year, filling in needs and things like that. A lot of those have been purchased actually from the general fund. And so when we talk about constantly reviewing to see if there's ways that we can relieve the general fund, we talk about, again, about different funds, and general fund being our most important operating fund. One of the things that we can do is take things like textbooks and charge them to the permanent improvement fund because they're going to last 5 years or longer. So anything that we did a review, we found a few textbooks that we have purchased from the general fund throughout the year. So before we close the fiscal year, we're moving those expenses from the general fund to the PI fund. So basically saving our general fund money, charging our PI fund, so it helps boost our operating fund.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for doing that.
Sure, no problem.
Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been moved and seconded and discussed. So, ready for a roll call, Sean? All those in favor and so on.
I can ready? Call up. All right, Mr. Hemman?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
5-0. Before I wrap up, I did want to pass out one other thing. Following up to our conversation last week, Mr. McKiernan had asked about, and you guys might have seen this before, but asked about how we've ended up looking at our October forecast versus our end of the year finals. And so this is something we've got. This shows the last five fiscal years on here. As we get here over the next couple months, probably by August, we'll be able to do the same thing for fiscal year 16. The top line is going to show you the amounts comparing the October revenues that we projected for the year versus what we end up in the final number for the year. The second line is going to show you the same thing but for expenses, and just kind of show you an average of how closely we've come on our revenues and expenses over the last few years. So kind of gives you an idea. On the far right, you can see the average. On an average over the last 5 years, we've been about 1.85% above on our revenues when we take our October numbers compared to our end of the year finals. And our expenses have been about 2.4% below. So those are our average numbers over the last 5 years.
And when we look at our five-year forecast, we're supposed to look at things that are substantially above or below, and really have deep discussions about those to find out what happened. And so it's nice to know that ours are at such a constant, very low percent from the original projection.
I can't take credit for all these. A lot of these were Mike's, actually, but fiscal year 15 was mine, and then we'll have, obviously, fiscal year 16 here coming up by August, probably. So
we're close, right?
So you're looking
point
at
point and a half off now.
Right.
About.
You're looking at the October and the May.
Right. No, this is October versus final fiscal year.
So October versus final.
Right. the May is not necessarily a final. May is going to be, by the time you approve the May forecast in the second, third week of May, you have actual numbers through April. So by the time you approve the May forecast, you still have 2 months of actuals left. So this compares the October forecast to your June numbers.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay. Ready for Mr. Superintendent Ackerman.
President Baker Hicks, members of the board, before I get started, I'd like to say congratulations to Holly Mueller. Holly has been selected as the District 4 Teacher of the Year for the state of Ohio.
Wow.
So Holly is
great.
One of 8 finalists, and Holly will be in the pool that will be selected. They'll narrow it down to 4 to 5 teachers in August. And then in September, they will announce who the State Teacher of the Year was. Of course, she's the State Teacher of the Year in our hearts, and hopefully she will do well. But congratulations to Holly for that recognition. So,
yes, indeed.
Really excited for her. I have 2 field trips to ask for your approval. Number one is an extended field trip for the marching band when they go to Camp Kern. And the second one is the extended field trip for our Kings High School cheerleaders who will be attending the Miami University Cheer Camp. And then we also added a third item onto the agenda, which we had left off from the one that you had received earlier, and that is the adoption of the district gifted policy, which we went over with the board at the work session last week, and we discussed with Mr. Hinman this morning as well. So I'm asking for your approval of items 1 through 3.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on those 3? Roll call.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. Hinman?
Yes.
Under the Assistant Superintendent for HR, we have the Gifted Position Memorandum of Understanding with the King's Education Association, and that is to create a stipend for one of our teachers that we will post to be our gifted coordinator. By law, you have to have a gifted coordinator in the district that has to have a gifted and talented license, a license to teach gifted and talented. And this person will help Dr. Thompson with all of the paperwork and things that, and compliance issues that we need to make sure that we meet for the state. This was something that was handled by the Warren County ESC in the past, and we will be taking that on. But to do that, we're asking for this stipend to be approved through this MOU. Anytime we add a stipend, we have to do an MOU with the union in order to add that stipend in. So they are in agreement with this as well. The second item are the sheet number 1 on the personnel items. And we'd also like to introduce Caitlin Harlemos to you, who is here in the crowd, who would be the hopefully the women's basketball coach for us next school year. And she is under that section number 1 of the personnel items. So I'd like to ask for your approval of the gifted MOU and the personnel item sheet number 1.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I think Nick Moles is on 1, and he on page 1. I think he is.
Nick would be on there as a teacher.
There was some sort of a revision. I can open it back up. But his deal changed. I was just curious what that was about.
Well, I'm not sure. I have to go in and look at that there, Mr. McKiernan.
On page 3 of 7, the second one down.
Now, see, because this is Mr. Spinner's job and Mr. Spinner does all the work, I'm not sure this guy could answer it.
Okay.
But we'll try.
Thank you, President.
Yeah, you're welcome. I have such faith in you.
Or page 1, right? I know I read
page
it.
Page 1. No, it's on page 2. Did I say 3?
There was a change.
Oh, it's a change in his pay. Because once we hire somebody and once we get their transcripts in, then we'll see if they have the plus 20 that they need in order to get to the next pay step on the pay scale.
Right on. I'm
so sometimes we don't confirm that until we actually get their paperwork in. So it's a revision in the contract for him.
Thank you.
I had one question about the change of days for a secretary. Was that a recommendation based on her request, or?
Yes.
Do you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, they had the option.
We gave them the options to do that. That was one of our savings initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
We reduced secretary's days.
But she is.
But we gave them the option to do it.
Yes.
Okay, so are we ready to vote, everybody?
Yeah, we're not voting on two, right? Because I just had a question about that, too. I'm not
okay.
Trying to be
correct. Gifted MOU and personnel item sheet number one.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Hello.
Congratulations, Caitlin.
Yes,
you'll
congratulations.
We're excited for you. We also have personnel item sheet number two, which we're excited to say that we have found a director of business affairs. He is working tonight, so he's not able to come. But his name is Matt Lucky. Matt has worked for Ryan Holmes for the last 14 years, I believe it is, if I do the math correctly on the resume, and comes with a lot of experience around construction and working with contractors, and we're excited for Matt. Matt actually went to college to become a teacher and has his administrative license and also his superintendent's license as well. So he's very involved and is very excited to get back into the education realm. One of the other items on there is to hire Mary Beth Fossey. Mary Beth will be our special education coordinator, which is a position we had last year but contracted through the county. But we'll be having that position through the district now. And Mary Beth will also provide a majority of the professional development for our teachers for their K through 4 literacy initiative that you voted on last month. And that was, she did that in her previous district as well. So she has a lot of wealth of experience in doing that, which in the long run will save us a lot of money and give us an in-house person to do all the professional development. And then the third item on there was for Mr. Bob Penders, who is the Steve Waldman, the Director of Business Affairs, replacement for the summer until we can find somebody. I'll tell you that I had Mr. Spinner send out to you the weekly emails that Mr. Penders has been sending him, and he's already saved the money that we were spending on him this summer and what he's been able to do and accomplish for us. So we're very happy about that.
I like the pictures.
And the pictures.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that is personnel item number two that I asked for your approval for.
Okay. Is there a motion? Second? Discussion?
We need a motion and a second.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if anyone...
Yeah, we need a motion.
I move.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that my vote is no. It's nothing to do with the qualifications of these individuals.
Kim, I can't hear you.
The qualifications of these individuals or the importance of these jobs. But I was very concerned during the community meetings with the list of possible reductions that we were given if we would wait to run a levy in 2017. So I'm glad that our finances have changed enough that these cuts are off the table, and as our new forecast has us in the black until 2018. And all of these positions, including these three, are in there. Yet I just have concerns that we are continuing to hire at central office and talking about cuts at our building levels.
And just to remind everybody, these are replacement positions. These are not new positions.
We cannot run a school district without a business manager. Who would do it? Who would do the work? Beats me.
A lot of districts do, Bonnie.
Huh?
A lot of districts do run without a business manager.
Who would do the job of a business manager? Who would do Steve Waldman's job, Kim?
I have trust and faith in the employees of this district that the work would be done. We've got excellent employees. I have trust and faith these jobs.
And they do. They have their own jobs to do. But anyway, there's no point in discussing it. So, are we ready to vote?
We are. Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
No.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
4-1.
And then the last item is an item for a classified substitute to work in many different sections of our district as a substitute. So I'd ask for your approval of personnel item number three.
So moved.
Is there a second? I'll second. I haven't seconded it all night. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. Hinman?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Abstain.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
more of.
And I do not have anything for the business manager or under special ed, curriculum instruction, or technology. So we are moving down to items presented by the board. President Baker Hicks.
Anyone have any items presented by the board? No one?
I would just say that I think it'd be appropriate to discuss at some point next board meeting our feelings on the Ohio checkbook. Kind of get resolution on that, you know, have some conversation about it and vote on it. Discuss the issue. So it doesn't have to be tonight, but that it was
so nice of you to timely. Invite him and not ask us, not discuss it with us. Because I know you invited him.
I had given Sean that information last week, Bonnie. He knew I had said something.
In your meeting with Sean?
I think
Sean, did you
idea.
Know he was coming tonight?
Nope.
No.
He just decided to come. I told him about the meeting.
It's okay.
When I saw him.
It's okay. We should just talk about that subject and, you know.
And move on.
Vote on it.
You want? Why don't we discuss it right now?
I'm good with it.
You okay with that?
Sure.
Sean, you want to talk about your opinion of it? Because I know I've talked with you about it. You're not wild about it.
Yeah. I know we talked about it. We did some research here a few months ago, and we talked about it. I did a presentation at the March work session. It's probably like anything else. There's pros and cons to the, you know, to it. I think one of the things that, you know, obviously one of the things it does is offers, you know, spending data and checks and things like that. I do think that's one of the things that we already have in place with board docs. Kind of as evidenced by our conversation tonight, you know, Ken was able to pull up the check pay report and look at any checks that, you know, that she wants to look at or anybody else wants to look at. Those are all public records, and anybody in the community or across the country or with internet access can pull up those same checks. And so every check we write every month is in there. So that data is already available. And so I think it's something we're already doing. At this point, you know, I know some districts, I feel like it's still in the early stages of development. Some districts are doing it, some districts are not. It's probably, I'd say probably 10 to 15% of districts are doing it right now. So I'd say it's still early in the process, and there's still time for districts to really vet it fully. And so, again, there's pros and cons to all of it, but I think that one of the things I do feel good about is our transparency in terms of what we're offering now through board docs. And then, of course, people always have the ability to, you know, come in, meet with us, talk through things, make requests and things like that. So other than just checks, obviously that report offers checks. The one we have offers checks, but if there's any other information, obviously that's always available through a public records request.
Now, I know I kind of felt left when Sean had explained that originally when I brought up this Ohio checkbook to the board, that yes, we do have board docs, and that's a great avenue for transparency. But I really think the board should take the opportunity to see this demonstrated as I did a week ago. And I was totally amazed at how much this helps you drill down into your budget, and it would help us all so much and help the community understand all of the finances. I mean, it's hard to figure out where all the money is all the time. And, you know, that number tonight, the $63 million, that's a number we never talk about, yet that's our bond, our title money, and you don't see it monthly and even in our five-year forecast. So I think this gives you the ability to really be able to understand the finances.
It's going to be the same whether it's, again, whether it's bond, retirement, general operating fund, PI fund, federal grants, the same separation you have in the reports that you have in board docs, you're going to have. Just like those are separated in board docs, they're also going to be separated in checkbook online. So I think that one of the main, not necessarily a missing piece, but one of the pieces that's important when you're looking at that, whether it's these reports or the checkbook online, I think one of the important questions, and even as we've gone through things over the last few months, one of the important questions is what fund is it being spent out of? You know, we've talked about buying a van. One month we talked about the money we spent on that, and that was actually not a general fund purchase, that was a PI fund purchase. The textbooks tonight, again, that's a PI fund thing. So you might look through the check pay report and you're going to see, sometimes I keep wondering if somebody's going to say, why are we buying all this food for our staff from Gordon Food Services? Well, the answer is actually that's a cafeteria fund thing. That's going to be, we're buying food for our kids. And so a completely separate fund from the general fund. And so those are, I think, the pieces I think that are really important to be able to talk through and ask and see is that, okay, if we're spending money on a van or food from Gordon Food Services, is that something that's coming from our operating funds or is that something coming from a separate fund that really has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations and our levy, our 5-year forecast or where we generate a levy from.
And I think that system will break that all out for us, Sean, from what I saw, and we will just be able to see that. You know, that this is how much, you know, was spent on food, this is what was spent on cleaning supplies. It breaks everything out and it's not confused and, you know, that just that checkbook
register. Sean, did you see a presentation on that last March?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you make a presentation here?
I did a presentation. I didn't show the checkbook online up here, but we did. There was a couple things we had talked about. One was our budgeting process. We talked about zero-based budgeting versus different types of budgeting systems that we use. So we had that question on the table, and also about the Ohio checkbook online. So I did a PowerPoint or a Google Sheets, Google Slides presentation on it at the March work session. So those are both things that we had looked at and talked through at the March meeting.
And you are happy with the way we do it?
I am. Not again, just like the textbooks tonight. I think there's things that in any operation, whether it's schools or private sector, I mean, you're always evaluating things, looking at things, and it's not something where you say for the next 20 years this is the way we're going to go. I think it's something that you make a decision now and you say, you know, we'll evaluate that. We'll continue to evaluate our processes and things we do and the way we do things, and in the future, do you reevaluate it again? Absolutely. I think it's always something that we're, you know, planning and preparing and performing and evaluating and improving. It's just a constant cycle and process that you go through. So even if we don't do it right now, it's not something that we shouldn't look at, you know, 5 years from now or 2 years from now or a year from now. But I just think
Board
it's something.
Board Docs is still relatively new to all of us. And so it's, in my mind, it'd be kind of nice to stay with Board Docs for a while as we're all getting used to that. Same with the community, I hope, as they're looking at things, they're saying, oh, I feel comfortable with this now. And then once we have all of that under our belts, move forward with that next step.
I think Board Docs is something we want to keep, but this is a free service. It doesn't cost us a penny. And so I agree that I think Board Docs is very useful and very good. I think it's been a great thing for transparency. But this is just in my mind, when I saw it actually demonstrated, I was totally amazed how you could just drill down in to everything. And I mean, I think it'd be worth just letting Josh come back and show us, and then everybody could decide and see the difference of the kind of information and how much easier it would be for all of us to understand our finances. And I think it's especially important when you're thinking about a possible levy in the near future. I mean, it would really be a great tool for the community.
I remember seeing part of the presentation. I've looked at the site, I've jacked with it quite a bit. I do believe the technology can be incredibly valuable in administrative efficiency. I believe that this particular product and being the amount of information that can be shared could in fact hurt our organizational capacity. Sean and his team are already piling through records requests and would be fearful that this would exaggerate the amount of information requested from this office. I'm not in favor of it right now. I think that it should be explored. I do think it may make sense. They're very early on in the adoption process. I think he said 80 schools in the state and could only refer to one locally. Again, I think that it at some point I may be very comfortable with it at this point, and there's been plenty of conversation about it. At this point, I'm not comfortable with it, and I would just like to kind of move it on or off the agenda, you know. And, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate to vote now. We can vote later, but, you know, I would make a motion that we don't switch to the online checkbook at this time.
I would just like to say that from all the information I've heard, that the government entities that adopt the Ohio checkbook have fewer public records requests, not more.
I think that's still to be determined. I shun that directly.
Look at a mixed bag on that. I've had some districts say they get a lot more calls, requests, and things once they Just with information, like you said, with information you put out there, you're going to get a lot more people that are, you know, interested in asking questions. And asking questions is always a good thing.
Obviously, the user is going to have a hard time with the technology. I mean, they won't be able to work the technology the way that you saw it in that presentation. There'll be a lot of, in my opinion. So again, I move that we do not use the online checkbook.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Hemman?
No.
Mrs. Grant?
So we're voting.
Let me think now. We are moving to not use it. So
right.
You would be voting yes, we don't want to use it, or no, I do want to use it.
No, I do want to use it. So I would vote no.
So maybe we better start the vote.
Yeah, let's.
I want to use it, so how would I vote?
You would vote no.
Okay.
Mr. Hemming, you want to vote no? Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
Mrs. Grant?
No.
Voting no? Okay. Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
3-2.
That was a little confusing, wasn't it? Yes, I do. No, I do.
On the other items presented, I'd like to remind everybody that our two board meetings in July, the work session, that's been changed to July the 6th. At 5:30, and the actual board meeting, regular meeting, will be July 7th at 6:30.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. July 6th will be the work session at 5:30.
Okay.
July 7th will be the regular meeting at 6:30.
Because I had written down the 12th, but we changed
Wednesday,
it.
Wednesday, Thursday, same time.
Okay.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Same times.
And that will, those will be the only two board meetings that we'll have in July, unless the board decides to have a third.
Oh, please, let's have another meeting. Just kidding. Okay, I think it's time for executive session. What do you think? Are we to that point? Any other discussion from anyone? Okay. Need a motion to move to executive session in order for the following purpose. To consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Sean, roll call.
Mr. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Yes.
There will be no action taken after executive session. And we'll have our executive meeting in here, but we won't do it for 10 minutes or so we can say hi. And maybe go to the ladies or men's room. Oh, I will. Can I not do it right this second?
Yeah.
Are you going to come into executive session with us in this room? Okay, let the minutes show that we have emerged from executive session at 8:35. Is there a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
First and seconded. Any discussion, comments, anything? Roll call, please. Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Hinman?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Phillips?
Yes.
Mrs. Baker Hicks? Yes. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Man,
this
Thank you.
Is the longest day of the year today.
Oh my gosh.
Everything.